Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 16th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Community, diversity, sanctuary, solidarity, and wait for it. Yes, foreign policy. Do you have one? Do you know anybody who's got one? Does Donald Trump, leader of the free world, finger on a big button? Not as big, of course, as KBOO's button, but of course it's Donald Trump's button is arguably a big one. At 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM, that's where the button is. And we are going to be talking today, I believe, with Robert Naiman with Just Foreign Policy. All around the world right now, there are brush fires. Some of them arguably much more of a roaring, full-on blaze. Nonetheless, across the world, there are hotspots that the United States has got itself involved in over recent years. The United States playing the role of the world's fat cop on the corner eating a donut. Not smart, not clever enough, not masters of diplomacy of any kind to actually be a player. Nothing on the scale of China, which has a special governmental department for every country in the world. That's every country in the world. And each department is charged with making inroads regarding the country to which they've been assigned. Go in, get in, meet the people who have the most power, not necessarily the head of state, mind you, but the people who hold the greatest, probably economic power, because that's what it's about now. War is because, a horrific, obsolete beast from the past. Ostensibly, smarter nations than this have realized that it is a hole that we pour money and blood into on a daily basis. The Chinese, however, have gone in and they have discovered resources, natural resources, which could be of use to China's developing infrastructure and economy, and made deals, essentially. They build highways, schools, hospitals, and basically learn languages, the language of work, shoulder to shoulder with the local people on the ground. That would be the smart way, but the United States is still pouring money and blood into wars around the world with no identifiable foreign policy other than America first. That is not diplomacy. That is not foreign policy. The ability to spend sums of money that are unimaginable, that probably don't really exist. The idea that this is an infinite supply of money, and of course we have a volunteer army, so the general population has no real idea, has nothing, they don't have any skin in the game. They are content to watch the best television ever, the golden age of television, and they can watch Fox News, and they can have a little smoke, and they're very happy. And the notion of foreign policy is, well, how can I say it? It's foreign to them. And this, so how can we hold the State Department? How can we hold any Secretary of State accountable if we have no idea what America's foreign policy looks like? We can't. We have people, that is one war that has been soundly lost. As far as winning the hearts and minds of Americans, it's over. That said, and looking around the world, very likely Trump's policies continue to have these military exercises right on North Korea's doorstep. That's not diplomacy, and it's probably going to tank the upcoming talks, which Donald Trump has been beating his chest and roaring about, and conjuring up some Nobel Peace Prize in his mind that he imagines that he's going to be bestowed upon him. So he's rather focused on that. It's very likely the first that Donald Trump has ever heard of military exercises in that part of the world. For that matter, that part of the world has only just recently come into Trump's purview in the first place. It is so difficult to conceive of the world, the balance of power, the structures, the treaties, agreements, the understandings that have kept peace in the world, that have kept trade flowing smoothly. All of that has been shattered by someone who didn't even know it existed until quite recently. It's a reality show to Donald Trump. That's about it. This is also summoned up the Catonsville Nine. There were nine activists who were affiliated with the Catholic Worker Movement. They're still working for peace. They're growing old, and they're still taking direct action. They go to jail on a regular basis for their beliefs. They feel really that they have nothing to lose, so they are, to a certain degree, we might even say that they've lived their whole lives working in the name of peace, and now as increasingly they're growing older and older, it looks like they're giving real meaning to death with dignity, because they are really approaching that time when they can say loudly and firmly they gave their entire lives working in the name of peace. The Catonsville Nine, in case you're not with a welter of information coming at us from all angles, they were a movement in the Vietnam era, they burned draft cards and that sort of thing. They went to the draft board. Their story is, there's many histories of the Catonsville Nine. Daniel Berrigan and Philip Berrigan, both deceased, were part of the movement. And on this 50th anniversary of the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, they are once again standing up against the triple evils of militarism, racism, and materialism, and standing up in the name of the poor, in the name of all of us, and carrying hammers and baby bottles of their own blood. This have been attempted. This is their recent action to convert weapons of mass destruction. They hope to call attention to the ways in which nuclear weapons kill every day by their mere existence and maintenance. So whether we sit in front of televisions watching the news or obsessively follow various postings online, there are people out there and you can join them. This is something that is open to everyone, and the Catonsville Nine serve as an inspiration and role models for any one of us today who is willing to stand up and take those first steps in the name of peace, take direct action rather than donating money to the cause of one's choice or posting a loud, angry tweet. There are other things. There are other options available. And that is that is where we stand today. The deaths in Gaza, of course, are what has prompted these remarks on my part. As always, it is opinion based on facts on that I accumulate and that are brought to me by various people around the world. Right now, talking with Mazen Kamsia, reading his postings, hearing his voice, it is he is truly an inspiring figure, but he's not the only one. Pretty much any the voice of any Palestinian, I am amazed at how badly, I guess the only word that occurs to me. I've written down notes and scratched out everything that I've written, but the mainstream media, as we call it, and the far right, Fox screamer, misses the point entirely and very obviously, deliberately, that land where ancestors are buried has been taken from a people. They've been denied the right of return. Every promise that's ever been made to the Palestinian people has been broken, as though it never it existed in the first place. It was mainly intended as just ruffles on the cake presented to the before the United Nations. The Palestinians' voices that I have heard are consistently resistance to the very end, no retreat, no surrender, and a sense of humor throughout the whole thing. It's watching the drama unfold is an experience. We hear on mainstream media the Israeli side constantly, consistently, this is all an evil plot by Hamas, funded and inspired by Iran. There is no evidence for that whatsoever. There is no evidence. Yes, Hamas is a Palestinian organization that has changed over time, and it's a real no-brainer. I mean, if you want to do research, there's plenty of material out there about the history of Hamas, and many on Fox, many voices on Fox call it Hamas, which is such a that's so delightful. Watching the bloodshed is incredible. If this happened to Americans or Israelis, the whole world would be on its feet screaming its head off for revenge. The Palestinian protest, that's our civilian protesters up against a state-of-the-art army, a military that has laid siege to a civilian population fighting with sticks and rocks for years. It's not ever going to end. The direction that is going does nothing but cast shame on America and Israel, now rogue states alone in the world, as the only people who are supporting what apartheid does not even begin to describe the situation. It's beginning to look a lot like a slow, agonizing genocide, which seems to have been the intention in the first place. Ben-Gurion said the old will die and the young will forget, and we all grow old, don't we, in the meantime. This has been Cascadia for Thursday, May 16th, 2018. engineering for us today. We have Kevin, and I believe, and Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening.